Now, I know you've only covered a few presidents, but what's been your most unusual or interesting interaction with the president?
Well, that see, here's the reality. Like, you can go to the White House every day and not interact with the president. So, I asked President Obama one question in a press conference. Met him on, or like interacted with him on a couple of other occasions, like when I went along with one of our hosts who was interviewing him, things like that. But only asked one press conference question in those 2 years that I was covering him.
Well, yeah, I actually went to a White House press conference last summer. We went to Washington for some coverage, and I was able to get in. How do you even get a question in there? It seems like it's just a preordained list that the press secretary takes people from, and they'll try to shout out, competing with 50 other people in that room. I mean, how do you actually get a question in when there's that much high-level competition?
There's a difference between a presidential press conference and a daily press briefing. So with a presidential press conference, frequently, and President Trump has only had one real sort of open-ended presidential press conference. All of the others have been joint press conferences, either with world leaders or there was one with Mitch McConnell. They haven't been as wide-ranging. But with like a traditional, in the Obama administration or like with these world leader press conferences, the press secretary decides basically who the president's going to call on, and he has a list. That was true with Obama. It's true with Trump. He had, on the rare occasions that he had that one about a year ago, sort of more wide-ranging one, he just called on people. Anybody could have been called on. I didn't happen to be there that day. And my colleague Mara Liasson was there and got called on right away. As for the regular daily press briefing, it's not actually that hard to get called on. And we have NPR has an assigned seat in the middle of the second row. And generally speaking, if I have a question I need to ask, I'm likely to be able to get a question in.
And next
Now,
time, next time I go, I'm gonna hang around you and try that.
well, yeah, I'm not giving up my seat. And the press briefings have gotten much shorter under Sarah Sanders. Some of them are only like 20 minutes long, so it's a bit harder to get a question in because it's just so short.
Right. Now, there's been a lot of, especially in the last couple of years under Trumpism, I call it, that the public trust for journalists, with all these accusations of fake news, has become a lot more difficult in recent years, given the political climate the way it is for the public to trust journalists.
Well, I mean, I look at the polling the same way you do. The trust in institutions, many institutions, not just the press, has declined in recent years. But in terms of like how I do my job day to day, nothing's changed.
Right now, a lot of, one of the issues of creating public trust in journalism is the use of anonymous sources. I know every organization has their own policies for it, but what do you think about that? Does using anonymous sources, is it kind of a trade-off, or do you have a policy that you use when these sources don't want to go on the record, but you need the information? How do you view that? How do you reconcile?
Let me tell you a hilarious thing. Today, the White House had a briefing for reporters with administration officials. It was an official White House briefing. It was not on camera. It was on background. And they insisted that the officials who were speaking to us not be named. That happens on a nearly daily basis. It happened in the Obama White House. It's happening in the Trump White House. And so it's like, as much as they shout about anonymous sources and fake news, they are demanding that their spokespeople for the administration be quoted anonymously.
And as from your end, I mean, when somebody gives you information, do you say no, I can't give you anonymity, or do you risk?
NPR has a complicated system for deciding what unnamed sourcing we can use and when and in what way. It goes through multiple layers of editors, and there's a system for it.
Right. Now, with the Me Too movement that's been going on in the last year or so, I mean, have you ever experienced any of that as a female and a top White House reporter? Have you ever had to overcome anything like that that we've read these stories of politicians and journalists have had to go through?
At various points early in my career, yes, but it's not about me. And it hasn't impeded my work in any way. But yeah, I'm pretty sure there are very few women that you would find that haven't at some point been harassed in the workplace. I have not been harassed at the White House or anything like that. It was like stuff a long time ago.
Gotcha. So, you come and tell you still have family in the area?
I don't. Oddly enough, my parents followed me to college, and have since now moved to Florida. So my parents aren't there. My brother lives in LA, but I have some friends in the Valley that I am looking forward to seeing, and some former sources from back when I was reporting out of Fresno that I am really looking forward to seeing.
And you're working on your stories to tell when you're in Fresno next week?
I don't know.
You just going to leak it?
I that's what the flight there is for. And also we're gonna do some Q&A with the audience, and I personally love doing Q&A because I never know like what people are interested in, and if I just go up there and give a really long speech, I could do that, and I could tell some stories that might be interesting to me. But I love when people ask me questions and then stories I hadn't even thought about come to mind, because like every day is another story.